Thank you for joining us on the Space Show too. We're here at the Apollo 11 40th anniversary, and would you like to give us a brief overview of your career? And I understand you were here during the Apollo 11 mission.
That's right. I was seconded from the company I was working for just about 4 months before the Apollo launch. They had lost an engineer, and there was a vacancy. And I had a knock on the front door by one of the engineers who knew me and said, "Would you like to come and work for Honeysuckle Creek?" And I said, "Where's Honeysuckle Creek?" Well, you know, they were right out of town. Anyhow, I had an interview the next day expecting to be grilled about my qualifications and everything else. And they said, "Well, would you like a cup of coffee and when can you start?" So I spent the next 4 months getting up to speed with the computer side of the network, and was there right through the launch and for about 4 months after the splashdown. After the splashdown. So that the company I was working for released me to be there, and my position was still available if I wanted to go back. So at the end of what was nearly a total of 8 months, I eventually went back to the original company I worked for. But I was at the Honeysuckle Creek Station during that period, and it was the greatest opportunity I've ever had in my life to be involved with.
So tell me a little bit about computers of the day. I mean, today they're very different, I suspect, and you were a computer engineer.
That's right.
And was that involved in mechanical maintenance?
Looking after, maintaining, doing tests, flight simulations, because all the data was coming through Deakin Telephone Exchange, which is the local OTC connection. And then from there it was sent by Microlink out to Honeysuckle Creek. From there it went through its various processes, and eventually through computers it was repackaged and sent via the satellites, up via the antenna, to the spacecraft. So, yes, they were pretty primitive computers. They were ruggedized naval computers. I think the largest was about 4K of memory.
Is that right? And how big physically was that computer?
Physically, my height, 6'4", 3 foot wide, and probably 4 foot deep. And, of course, we had backup ones, but each computer had about 4 gig of memory. Sorry, 4 kilobits of memory. Let's get that right. Kilobits.
And a kilobit is a thousandth megabyte, correct?
That's right. Wow. Now we have computers that have megabytes, and then again after that there's gigabytes. So yes, you can imagine. It was very primitive, and I think it was the tenacity of Australian engineers that went through everything in such detail and checked and rechecked that the whole thing went off perfectly. We had no computer hiccups at all, none of the major parts of the site, you know, telemetry and controlling the dish and all that sort of, I shouldn't use the word dish, it was the antenna.
Right.
I made a film about the dish, which wasn't really true to form, as you probably have gathered. We were a learner-based, like learner distance transmission and reception of data. Parkes, about which the dish was written, was purely only a radio telescope, and as such could not transmit any data whatsoever, contrary to what the film implied.
Right. So
I think it's been put to rest this weekend.
So Sam Neill didn't play you, is that what you're saying?
Okay. And we didn't play cricket on the dish either.
Could you tell me a little bit about the computers? Who wrote the programs for those computers, and how were they written, put into the computer?
All programs were written, of course, by Houston. They had the same type of computers in every site. That included Madrid in Spain, as Honeysuckle Creek, as the three sites, Galveston in America. And those three sites were they were images of each other, so that we were all talking the same language, so to speak. They were constantly being updated, so that if any change was made to the program, we automatically upgraded all of the computers on almost an hourly basis.
And how did that happen? Was it punch tapes, cards, or keying in numbers on a keyboard?
No, it was all data that was sent over telephone lines, copper wire. The transmission rate between here and the States was 2.6 5, I think, kilobits, right? Now, your website runs it, you know, way, way above that. So the information was transmitted by undersea cable. Obviously, that's a major link from America to here. From ATC in Sydney, it went to the Deakin Telephone Exchange, and then, as I said earlier, it was relayed then by Microlink to Honeysuckle Creek, where it was received, dissected, and turned back into data that was ultimately to be transshipped up to the spacecraft.
Right. And were you in the control room or the monitor room when the moonwalk was on? Were you watching the scan?
I was watching computers. No, we didn't get. Not many of us got to watch the actual pictures until after the event.
Right.
And afterwards, as I said in the Canberra Times, we were all amazed of just what had transpired, because a lot of it was happening from all different sections, from a lot of people, not just one person or anything like that. There was a whole network right around that were bringing in this information and transshipping it up, and so it was a team effort. And we were there on the day, very much glued to what our tasks were. After the tasks were over, we all sort of gathered around and were able to watch the replay of probably the best pictures that were ever shipped, because, as you know, the original tapes were all then sent to Houston and they were they haven't been able to find them.
And they were the top tapes you watched in replay.
That's right.
At the time.
That's
okay.
Right.
But so you've
very
checked
good,
your you've
very
checked your garage.
No, they were very much under security. They certainly left here. We know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But and they were received over there. But over the period of time, with all the other missions that were going on, they've somehow gotten mislaid or overwritten.
Right.
But.
So then after that assignment, you went back to your regular job, you're saying?
4 or 5 months after splashdown. The day after splashdown was interesting because they called all of the staff, which totaled about 90 people overall, because we were working around the clock shifts, whereas the dish, of course, put the man on the moon with 4 people and lost the spacecraft in the process. But that's beside the point. Whoever was available to come in the next day, we all had a barbecue and we went up and they took a staff photo at the dish, or the antenna. Correct? Please call it the antenna. At the antenna. Please wipe any reference to the dish out of it. And that picture is in both black and white and colour on our website, which you may be interested in looking at for further information about whatever article you want to do.
And is that Colin McKellar's
honeysucklecreek.net? That's right.
Okay.
And if you actually go into that site, you'll find the picture under people, I think people and places. And if you actually click on it, it will raise it up to full size. You can point the cursor at any head, and it will tell you the name of the engineer. And I'm there.
You're there.
I'm very near the hazardous area.
You've reached immortality.
Wonderful time. Great opportunity in my lifetime to be involved in probably what was the greatest technological feat with fairly primitive equipment. I'm not saying that unkindly. It was state of the art at that time. But it was the greatest thing, I think, certainly in the electronics field that took place in the last century.
I'd have to agree with you on that. Yes, fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for spending the time. And,
all right. Well, if you have my card, if there is anything that you can send me in the way of a file
or tell me
what paper it's in, if you're publishing it.
I'd
love to put it down there for...
We basically run a radio program,
right.
And we have a website, which we have a small amount of content on.
Right.
We can certainly send you this file if you want, if you'd like that for your records.
I'd like to be able to keep any of this for the grandkids, because my one motto in life is when you're looking forward, and I think this applied to all of the people that were involved in this program. First of all, we had we can do it. And as somebody said in one of the presentations in the last couple of days, we did it.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I always say when looking forward, we should never forget to look what came behind us, because we didn't do it all. A lot of people long before us that generated the wherewithal to do the things that we're able to do today. And I think the young generation has lost a lot of that. I think they look at a lot of the things that are available to them today without even thinking about how did it ever come about.
Yes.
So,
yes.
If there's a transcript or anything like that I could get on a CD, love to have it.
All right, we'll make sure we do that.
Good luck.
Thanks again.
We'll see you at the 50th.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We're on. Thank you.
Thank you.